No, today I want to talk about the title I'm going to use today is What Makes You Beautiful? And I had the idea of what we were going to talk about early this week. Julie texted me on Friday and I didn't have passages yet to figure this out. But bear with me, I'll get there, because the passage God laid on my heart, I was like, what? We'll get there. But I want you to think about what makes you beautiful. And we have many different images of beauty, right? I mean, it can be different for each individual person. How do you feel beautiful? What makes you beautiful? Whatever. I was going to give a definition of beauty, but it's right here in the song, How Great Thou Art. Verse 3, and when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. That is beauty. Jesus didn't have to do that. Jesus could have stayed at the right hands. He didn't have to come down here. He didn't have to leave. But you know why He did? Because He loves us. Because He loves us. No other reason. And if you don't think that you're important to God, I want you to think about that every day of your life. You know, there are going to be times when life doesn't go our way. We were, Chris and Morgan and I left ahead of the rest of the party, and it was Sunday, and we went to Lexington, Kentucky to the horse farm, you know, because horses are my favorite thing. I wanted to go as part of the history of the horse race, you know, Secretariat, Man of War, all those horses. Morgan was like, Dad, can we ride a horse? Sure. So we rode a horse, and we get saddled up, and, well, we didn't saddle them, but we got loaded up on these horses, and Morgan's never ridden a horse. So they it was weird when they put you on these horses, they just said, hey, you in the blue shirt, come on down, they put you on a horse. There was 35 people that was on this trail ride, so 35 horses. Morgan, I think, was loaded like second. So then she had to control this horse the whole time that everybody else was getting loaded. And there were varying levels of horsemanship there. It went from below zero to about half horseman. And I'm in the zero range. Morgan's in the below zero range. And when she loaded this horse, they told her, oh, by the way, this horse bites other horses. So we left a 19-year-old with no horse experience on a horse to sit there for 40 minutes. But listen, I also heard one of the guides say, oh, these horses know what to do. They've been doing this for 20 years. Wow. I don't even know what the life expectancy of a horse is, but they've been doing that trail ride right there for 20 years. That's pretty impressive. So I took that knowledge, and as we were riding, they had the reins tied to the spot where the horse will just go. So I just looped it over my saddle horn. I just sat, and I just looked. And we traveled about 40 miles. They said they have 40 miles of painted fence at this horse farm, which is impressive. But we rode all the way around. I don't know. It was about an hour ride. And I thought, okay, God, I get it. I know what you want the sermon to be. And I wasn't sure how we were going to get there. But we got there. But then when we started from there to Tennessee, I took the Traverse because it was big enough that when everybody got there, we could all ride in the same car. Well, the first little curve we went around, because Kentucky's fairly hilly, fairly curvy, the car starts like going like this, like somebody's in the back seat jumping around. I was like, oh boy, that's not good. But it didn't affect the steering wheel. It wasn't harder to drive. It just felt like somebody was jumping around in the back seat. So I don't know. I made a call to the mechanic. He looked at it yesterday. We'll see. But it's weird because even in that time of tribulation, I knew God had the wheel. And most of the time, I was looking out my window, looking to be. I'm not sure how we got there because I'm a gawker. I think there was a couple times where Chris bruised my arm because I was gawking and there was a semi breaking in front of me or whatever. Not good. Not good. But we had a good trip. We're glad to be here. I'm not glad to be back necessarily because I know what's coming tomorrow. But as we're going to read here, I have to rejoice in that as well, and I will. I love my job. So, what makes you beautiful? We're going to turn to Philippians. And we're going to go to a passage where Paul, he was telling the Philippians about some of the attitudes of the heart that will make you beautiful. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I'm going to pray first, though. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and I love you, and I thank you for the week that my family's had and just everything going on. Lord, I also want to lift up Barb and Mike and the boys today, and Mike coming home, and that's, you know, a lot on Barb, but she's glad he's coming home, Lord, and just be with them as they go throughout this week and this today, that he gets settled in and hopefully some of the problems they got taken care of at the hospital. Lord, we just, I ask you just to come and take over, shut my mind down, shut myself down, and just let my tongue be your mouthpiece, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're going to talk about Philippians 4, and it's part of Paul's final, mine says final exhortations. That means he's telling them goodbye. And in this, there's a big mix of people that Paul's writing this to. You know, there is no, like, we each have our own call for beauty. We all think beauty looks different. Man, there's a mix of people in this crowd he was talking to. So we're just going to read it, and then we'll go back through here a little bit. And I said verse 2. I'm going to start in verse 1, just because I think it's important that we hear all of what Paul's saying here. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche to be the same in the mind of the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose name are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to the Lord. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, my brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Now there's a lot being said right there. A lot. And I like Paul because he says a lot, it's pretty plain what he's saying a lot of times. So what makes you beautiful? Number one, unity makes you beautiful. Unity makes you beautiful. Verses 2 and 3. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Sin, whatever her name is, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose name are in the book of life. So here, he's talking to the church. He's talking specifically to two women in the church. I'm going to go out on a limb and say these two women weren't agreeing on something. Okay? And guys, we have that. We have that today in church. We don't always have to agree on exact details. The one thing we have to agree on is what we're here for. And that's to glorify the kingdom of God. You know, nothing else we do, we can do all the cute stuff, we can do all the singing, we can do all the other stuff. If we're not here to glorify God and further His kingdom, what are we doing? What are we doing? So these guys, these two ladies were probably pretty important members of the congregation. I mean, he says, hey, you guys stood alongside me while we fought this battle, while we battled stuff. You know, get back with it. Paul tells them to be of the same mind in the Lord, which means get your head out of your behind and focus on God. That's Matt's words. Okay? And what happens is we get comfortable in church, and we're all guilty of this. We get comfortable in our life, we get comfortable in church, and then we start doing what? We start reaching out and trying to do our own thing. And I've preached it before, then God uses that 2x4. Hey, you got to get back to focusing on me. When I start focusing on me instead of Him, man, things go awry. I'm all over the place. Because I can't decide where I want to eat. Okay? I cannot make a life-changing decision without Him. And that fell on my daughters. Shelby can't decide what color tennis shoes she's going to buy. I don't shop with her. We'll be 6 hours in tennis shoes looking at three different pairs. Which one should I get? I don't know. But then in other decisions, it's like, she's got her stuff together, right? Tennis shoes are a downfall. Lindsay makes a decision. Lindsay makes the decision and lives with it. Maybe right, maybe wrong. It's kind of like me. Because I don't plan things out. I got my wife. And we're talking about beauty. So all week I was surrounded by beauty. And then yesterday I came home. Or Friday night we got home. And then we had a wedding yesterday. And I'm telling you, Chloe was beautiful. Beautiful. And the ceremony was great. Okay? But I'm surrounded by my wife and three daughters, and I think I know what beauty looks like. And then I drive into these mountains, and I look off, and and I just see God's beauty. And no offense to my wife and kids, but they don't compare to that. They're all four beautiful women. But that is a thing of beauty. And you know what I thought about when I was looking at those mountains? Jesus on the cross for me. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. But when we take our eyes off of our focus, we lose our focus. And then we have to get readjusted back. And that's why vacations are kind of cool. Anybody else just in your job just ever feel like, man, I have to have a vacation? We all get there, right? And then when we come back, what happens? We're usually more focused. We're usually more centered because we just needed that time away. Guys, we don't need time away from God, but we get it. Why? Because we take our eyes off of Him. Not because He loses sight of us. Because we take our eyes off of Him. And when you do come back, it's kind of like coming back from vacation. And you're focused. You know what God wants you to do, and you do it. The second point that makes you beautiful, rejoicing makes you beautiful. And I don't mean rejoicing up here praising God in the praise and worship team or singing in our seats. That's part of it. I mean rejoicing in everything we do. You know, if I stub my toe, I need to rejoice. Because I'm going to tell you why. Because if that chair hadn't have been there for me to stub my toe on, probably something worse was going to happen. That's the way I see it. God puts roadblocks in our place sometimes to save us from ourselves. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. I want you to underline always. Because we got to rejoice in good, in bad, and in different. And we can't turn it into rejoicing on look what I did. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Okay? Again, we've talked about God's grace before, and we know that we don't deserve any of this. Guys, we don't deserve to rejoice with the Lord. We don't. I don't. Maybe somebody here does, I don't know. But if you're a human being like me, you don't. Man, I'm a broken sinner. And I do a lot of dumb stuff. But I still get to rejoice in the Lord. Always. That's hard sometimes. Point number 3. Gentleness makes you beautiful. And I had to think about this one for a while and think where we're going. And you know, what took me back was this verse on the wall. And when I read that, when I studied that, I thought, oh man, that's spot on. Gentleness makes you beautiful. Verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Guys, understand, when we're showing gentleness, we're showing God's love. And we're showing He's always here. Now, there's a couple times on the road where I wasn't showing God's gentleness at all times. Okay? I probably showed it more than Lindsay does. But gentleness. You know, when I think of that, I think of Jesus with the picture. him sitting on a stone, and the lamb and the children are right there at his feet. God said, no, 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 no. Let them come to me. Let them come to me. Guys, we have no greater example than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for gentleness. Even when he was hanging on the cross, he was gentle. He was gentle. Man, when we stub our toe, are we gentle? When we have a money issue, are we gentle? When we think we're not good enough, are we gentle? When we're correcting our kids, are we gentle? I wasn't always. Still, I'm not always. Probably never will be always. Because my kids just do some dumb things. But they learned it from me because I did the same stupid junk to my parents. But we've got to learn to be gentle in all things we do. And that's hard. That's hard. But the next time we want to fly off the handle, I want you to think, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Guys, understand that whereas Christians, people look at us every single day of our lives, every single moment of our lives. If you don't think the guys that Matt works with aren't looking for him when something breaks, for how he responds, if you don't think guys aren't looking at me and my customers aren't looking at me when Coca-Cola does some boneheaded thing, and we can apply that to all our jobs. A lot of them a lot worse than mine. They're a lot more stressful than mine. I drive around in my car. Usually I get time to get back in a gentle frame of mind before I go deal with customers. Some of us are there day to day with people all the time. And they are watching. They know you're a Christian. They know, and they're wanting to see God's example in you. Be gentle. Be gentle. Number four, and this is probably, I don't think there's any one that's more important, but this one, if I had to put a A-OK on one, it's this one. Prayer makes you beautiful. Prayer makes you beautiful. In verses 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If we learn nothing else today, take those two verses, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, and put them on your heart. Memorize them. Put them in your mind. Put them on your tongue. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Guys, God knows what's going on in your life. He already knows. But He wants you, number one, He wants you to talk to Him daily. Hourly, minutely, secondly. We need to be in prayer, in a mindset of prayer 24/7. And if we can ever get to that point, a lot of this junk is going to go away. A lot of this junk will go away. Prayer makes you beautiful. Because you're relying on God. You know, when and God's looking down, you know what he sees when he's... Because when I look at the cross, all I see is my Savior bleeding, crown of thorns, stripped of all dignity. You know what God sees when he looks at that? He sees me pure. He sees you pure. He sees us as perfect human beings because of what Jesus did. That's pretty powerful. Turn everything over to God in prayer. Les, you may. It's going to be close. I didn't really like this last one, but I didn't know how else to say it. Because this can go both ways. You know, prayer is only going to go one way, right? If you're in prayer, it's going to turn beautiful. Because it's going to be God's will. Okay? If you're rejoicing in everything you do, it's only going to go one way because it's going to make God glorified. And if you're gentle in every situation, it's only going to go one way because everybody's going to see Jesus in you, in me. Here's one I don't like, but I'm going to use. Thinking makes you beautiful. And there's some times, there's some people I just think shouldn't think. You know, just don't think. But then I see this, I'm like, okay, dummy. Matt, quit thinking. Verse 8 and 9. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, or seen from me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So we got to change the way we think in order for this, in order for thinking to make us beautiful. We have to change the way we think because we need to think of whatever's admirable, whatever's beautiful, whatever's peaceful, whatever's trustworthy. Kind of goes along with prayer. We need to pray unceasingly, and we need to think about our God unceasingly. Because if we're doing those two things, everything else takes care of itself. We don't have a lot of the other junk. Okay? So as we... I'm almost done. As we... if you need... And listen, any of this stuff that Paul's written, I mean, you can look at that and find an example for just about anything. Because he talks to all these churches in the same tone, and he corrects them, and he shows them, and but he has lived that life and shown them how to do it. It's all in here. It's all in here. And I've learned a lot this week because I don't do a lot of these things very well sometimes. I like it. I like unity. Right? I mean, think of unity, okay? If you're driving down the road and you got six of you in the vehicle and you say, okay, what are we going to do for supper? You got six different answers. There's going to be five people upset. Maybe not upset, but, right? But man, if you're driving down the road and it's just six of you, and y'all say, okay, let's go eat a steak tonight. Man, everybody's happy. Right? And in the church setting, if we are all focused on our Lord and Savior and glorifying His kingdom, it's a lot better than if, okay, I want to go this direction. I want to go this direction, and I want to go this direction. Pretty soon the church is just straight line. We're not doing any good. Because we're all on our own spots on the line. But if we can take that line, and we can get it all headed towards the cross, we're powerful. And then all those other things fall into place because people are watching. Do you know that there are people that won't go to church because they don't want to come into dysfunction? And are we perfect because we're in church? No. We're perfect because of what happened on the cross. Other than that, we're broken sinners. And we are going to have arguments, disagreements. You know, this church has been through the ringer. We all know that. But I truly believe that there are people in this church now that are pulling towards the kingdom of God. And while we may not have 1,000 people that go here, it doesn't matter. We're 2 or more. God's here. And if we're pulling towards the kingdom, we're doing the right thing. It's not always easy. So I want you to take those 4 or 5 things this week and think about those and think about God's beauty. When I say beauty, don't think of what we look like on the outward. Because listen, we all get older. In my case, I get uglier as the days go by. Okay? We get older, we don't look as good as we used to or whatever we think that. I want you to look on beauty through their gentleness, through their peacefulness, through their kindness, patience, self-control, goodness, and faithfulness. If we can exhibit those things right there, people will know that we're different. People will know that we're different. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we thank you for your beauty, Lord. We know that you just snapped and those mountains were in place, and you snapped and those waters were in place, and you snapped and that sun came and the night came. And Lord, your beauty and what you do in our lives every single day is amazing. You're taking a run-down, broken sinner like me and hopefully working towards your kingdom, Lord. Lord, we love you. We thank you that you sent your Son to cover all of our shortcomings and all of our sins so that when you look down on us, you see your Son perfect. We don't deserve it, Lord. We know that by your grace and our faith in you as our Lord and Savior is how we're going to get there. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. And if you're here today and you don't know that peace or that grace that I talked about, or you don't know what it looks like for prayer be beautiful. I'll be here. If we need to stop singing and bring Matt down or Randy down, I don't care.